Angela Johnson, welcome to My Worst Leadership Moment podcast. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very, very well. Look, it's great to have you back. You're also one of our guests on Cultural Leadership podcast. So I'm super excited to hear about your worst leadership moment. But before we dive in, how about you give the opportunity to the audience to learn a bit about you. Tell us what you'd like to share with our audience about who is Angela Johnson.
I am a small business owner, entrepreneur, started my company about 14 years ago now, helping people learn about Agile and Scrum, different ways of working. Based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for your listeners who are like, what is that accent? You know, not quite Canadian, Minnesotan. And I have a 11-year-old son who keeps both my husband and I on our toes in addition to running the business.
Sounds like lots of opportunities in that little grab to have many worst leadership moments, but you only get a chance to share one today, Angela. We can do other series and get you back on if you feel it's necessary, eh?
Sounds good.
So, Angela, how about you share sort of circumstances and the story leading up to your worst leadership moment?
I would say our theme is going to be bad hires, not great at hiring. And I'm sure other leaders listening can relate. And the first colossally bad hire, I thought I was being so smart by hiring a competitor. Take them off the chessboard, right? You know, hire that competitor. It couldn't have been a worse decision if I tried. But because I'm slow to learn, I did it again. I did it a couple of years.
Oh, my goodness.
After that. And then very recently, the learnings came to fruition and we did have a bit of a hiccup in a recent hire, but aha, I had finally learned. And so it didn't drag on like the other ones did. It didn't cause as much pain for the team as the first two lessons did.
So before we dive into the learnings, we will certainly get there because it's an important part of any of this experience. What was the consequences of this bad hire, or should I say bad hires?
There was a lot of similarities between the two. And so the common denominator, of course, is me. But what was scary to me is that the people in question used the same words and they were really going after me. And they said things like, you're not a leader. You don't have any followers. You don't even have a company left because I'm going to leave and take everybody. Everybody's going with me. You don't have a company left. So, you know, you better think about what you're going to do because you're over. What? You know, and for a minute, when we get really negative feedback like that, we all start playing things out. Our ego takes over. That little internal voice takes over, grabs the steering wheel. And it's like, is that true? Oh my God, what if that's right? And that really lived rent-free in my head for a long time. It did a lot of damage, you know, and it took a lot of self-coaching and help from a coach to say, let's look at the facts, shall we? Did anybody go with either of those people when they left? No, not one. Oh, did you lose a single customer when they left? Oh, no, we didn't. Did your business just crumble? Are you sitting in the corner crying because you lost your company? As a matter of fact, no, none of those things happened. You know, so it really took some hardcore coaching to get me to wake up to the fact that let's look at the facts. We can all get wrapped up in the emotion behind some of these words and some of these things that other people sling our way as a result of a decision we made. Yeah, I'm the one who hired both of those people in question, you know, but they did so much damage and created such a toxic environment. The right thing to do for the company and for the team I serve was to make the tough call to let them go. And what was almost validating about it was their bad behavior on the way out. You know, the things they did say, even though all the shots were taken at me, right? And even though those shots did a lot of damage, it really made me think for a minute, was there any truth into the feedback? Was there any truth into the things that they were saying to me?
In the hybrid working world,
I've seen too many business owners and their businesses suffer because of poor performing employees, leading to below average results. If you want to improve your employees' performance to deliver consistent results for your business, you have to master one-on-one meetings. The doors to our Master One-on-One Meetings training program are opening soon. I'll teach you how to improve employee performance and deliver consistent results using one-on-one meetings. To be one of the first people notified when the doors open, go to leaderbydesign.au/waitlist. Don't wait, sign up now.
And how early on in the hire were those sort of behaviors coming through?
Pretty early on, I would say almost like a month, 2 months. You know, there's that little honeymoon period where there's a couple of weeks and everybody's on their best behavior. First month, everybody's on their best behavior, almost like the first, you know, pay period kind of a thing. And then you start to see little cracks, you know, little biting comments or passive aggressive kinds of moves and things like that. And so I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I always like to look at the circumstances and my own behavior in any situation. But I did, unfortunately, let both of those situations linger too long. In both cases, it was about a year, year and a half before really pulling the plug. I know, right? I said slow to learn, right?
That's From other conversations I've had with you, I really thought you were smarter than that, Angela.
I know, right? It's like my blind spot. And by the third, you know, one I mentioned, the recent hiccup, that was only like 6 months, 6 to 8 months. So I feel like I got better. I finally, you know, recovered and looked at data and facts earlier, right? Mm. So I didn't let it linger as long.
And we'll get deeper into the learnings, but maybe as a starting point of that is what was the thing holding you back? I mean, you're a very experienced person and you know these things, but there was obviously something there just holding you back from sort of pulling the trigger, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah. The only thing I can chalk it up to is my own fear. You know, what is the market going to think? What are my customers going to think? Who is going to do the work? Oh my gosh, I can't be everywhere at once. And I don't want to be embarrassed and call a customer up and say, so sorry, we have to move that training event, or so sorry, we have to move a coaching session, you know, just all those fears. So rather than just dealing with it, because I can't be the first leader or company on the planet to be in a situation. I mean, even if somebody had quit, wouldn't a company have to say, oh, here's how it impacted the things that we have on our schedule. Here's how it impacted the business. We have to adapt. So the only thing I can say is it was my own fear, my own analysis paralysis in dealing with it, because I let all those what ifs percolate. And I wish I would have just bitten the bullet and done it sooner.
And you are obviously in front of all of this passive aggressive and these poor behaviors happening internally. What did you find out? If anything, I assume that things were happening externally. There was an impact maybe on your client base or, you know, the service that you're offering. Did you find anything out there?
The good news is no. And the only reason I can say that that was a blessing in disguise is that we're very customer facing. You know, when you think about the things that we do, professional training, we're doing presentations, we're doing professional coaching. And so the good news is, you know, the people in question were smart enough to not let any of the company's dirty laundry or any of the things going on within the team affect, how should I say it, their performance. Because I'm quite certain in both cases, because they wound up being competitors, they're still competing against me. Shock, surprise. Yeah. They were looking at those very customers as, ooh, I bet you I could win them over and take them. So they didn't want to, you know, look bad or look negative in front of the customers.
So it sounds to me that there were probably many learning opportunities in those experiences. How about you share what are some of your maybe two or three key learnings from that experience?
The emotion needed to be taken out of it. You know, as I was working with a coach, which I alluded to earlier, and they were pushing me to look at the facts, look at the data. I wish I had done that sooner. So it's easy, I think, when we find ourselves in emotional confrontation, or if it becomes kind of kitchen sink kind of fighting where people just are throwing anything they can grab, you know, at you, to just pause and filter it. It's like, is that really true? I mean, even if you don't need to say the words out loud, but wait a minute, there's no truth in that. So I'm not going to react to that. But I did let myself react to that. So what I would have done differently is look at the facts. The second thing that I did differently the second time around that became ridiculously important recently was I took it to the team. You know, the first time around, I wasn't being very transparent about what was going on. I was almost embarrassed. I thought that I would look weak if I shared some of the things about that confrontation or that conversation. And in the second one, I flat out took it to the team. And in doing so, they were amazing. They started telling me their feelings about the person in question. And I flat out said, if any one of you is making a case for why this person should stay in the team, I will make it my mission to figure this out. We will fix it. I will figure it out. But not a single person gave them the thumbs up. They all gave them the nope. And so I wish I'd done that sooner. So, you know, not just trusting your own ego or that own internal voice to look at the facts, take it to the team, take it to other people and ask them for what they're observing and what they're experiencing. And that has made all the difference in the world in our recent hires and experiences.
That old thumbs up, thumb down, I just had this flashback to Gladiator, the movie, and I can't remember what they call the emperor. But
it's called Roman voting.
Live or die, isn't it? It's like, oh, no, death. Oh, classic. It's actually remiss of me to not ask the question, so let me ask it before, is what was the, like, these behaviors, terrible behaviors, again, that you put up with for quite, you know, longer than you should have, what was the impact on the team? What were some of the things they were saying that was impacting their performance as a result of these things happening?
Really low morale. You know, there were a couple of people that I felt were almost being used as the whipping person, you know, the person that was getting blamed, or the person that was the recipient of a lot of the biting comments. I would also say avoidance. There was a lot of avoidance going on, you know, to the point where I'm like, well, why is that person not participating in this conversation? Where are all these excuses to not show up coming from? And I do think there was a lot of unfounded fear as well, because when I did take it to the team on that second time around, I found out my bad hire had delusions of grandeur for carving out some sort of a leadership position that didn't exist in our small little company. We're pretty darn flat. And a couple people flat out told me, I will have no choice but to leave if this person does come into some sort of a management or leadership function. And I'm like, who's telling you that? There's no plans for that. Oh, well, they think there are. They're telling us that. So there was a lot of little damaging things, you know, causing just poor performance, avoidance of each other, low morale, and really a lack of transparency.
So how long ago were these experiences,
Asia?
Well, the first one was 10 years ago. The second one was 7 years ago. See, only 3 years in between. Told you I was slow to learn. The most recent one was just last May. And thankfully, it only lasted 6 months because I got smarter, took it to the team, had a one-on-one, and I focused on data with that person about their behavior. And every time they tried to deflect, we're not talking about the other members of the team right now. I'm talking about this behavior of yours. About you. We're not talking about me right now. We can make time for that in another conversation, but the purpose of this conversation is about these behaviors of yours. Oh, well, I'm going to fix it. I want to fix it. I said, great. I look forward to your plan for fixing it come Monday morning. Because this conversation was around lunchtime on a Friday. Guess what was in my inbox bright and early Monday morning? Their resignation.
I would have guessed that.
And I was like, yes!
For those on YouTube, or sorry, for those just watching, listening to the audio, Angela's was doing the little claps there, the golf clap.
Like, I love it when a plan works out, you know, it's like just took care of it for me. Instead of a plan, I got a resignation.
It's a nice sequence of sort of learning and sort of shaping your own style, sort of that first situation, 10 years, and then about 7 years, and then sort of last May or something. So, you know, maybe a little bit under 12 months ago. But in that sequence, can you maybe share a little bit more about how that sequence from sort of point to point has shaped your journey and how you've got tighter around this hiring process potentially?
Yeah, for sure. The take it to the team isn't just, you know, what I would have done differently. That's one of the things I did differently in the hiring process this last round. And we had a couple of people we were looking for, not only for the training and coaching business that we're engaged in. You're aware that I have a physical brick and mortar space in Minneapolis. We have an event center as well. So we were hiring a number of positions, and thankfully the other ones worked out. It was just this one. And there's always one, but I made it the team's responsibility to do the majority of the hiring. So not just one conversation or two conversations, but multiple conversations. We also did scenario-based interviewing. So not a yes or no question or not tell me about the time when blah, because people can make themselves sound really great in those kinds of interview questions. We gave a very specific scenario and said, tell me what you would do if you were in that situation. So we were able to weed out some people very quickly. And those scenarios were sins of our past. They were things that have happened at this company. So when we got answers that we are like, nope, we never want to be in that situation again, it was pretty clear that candidate wasn't going to pass muster. But there was one that squeaked through, yeah? And so we tried to get ahead of that and tried to be really clear about expectations. And so we were able to use that. I was able to use that in that Friday lunchtime conversation to say, these were the expectations that were presented and that were repeated by every person you met coming in to this organization. Here's what we're not seeing. And then, well, you know, what's your plan to improve? And thankfully it was leave in peace.
It's a great experience you've shared, and certainly something that people can learn a lot from. What would be your parting bit of advice for people listening to this experience and potentially nodding their head a lot and thinking, yes, this has happened to me? And what would you say to them?
Be slower to hire and quicker to fire. I think so often we flip it around. You know what I mean? We're like, oh, I need this person like yesterday. We're so busy. Just fill the need. Oh, pay now or pay later, you know? And then if we let things fester, well, I can't really let them go because we have this thing to cover. Well, I need this thing. Flip it around. Slower to hire, quicker to fire.
I love that. It's one of the two bits of reflection I've had from this conversation today is I just wrote down act quickly. So I 100% resonate with that bit of advice you give it. And the other thing relates to something you said a bit earlier. And again, I can't remember where I heard this, somebody told it to me or whatever, but talked about sort of feelings. You know, we acknowledge our feelings, which is okay, but then go to facts and then use feelings based off those facts, and then you can sort of act quickly or make a next step. So, Angela, thank you very much for coming on, for being vulnerable and sharing these insights. Again, unfortunately, there's, you know, I can resonate with elements, too many elements of what you're saying as well, as many, many leaders can. We've all made these mistakes, and unfortunately, there's no perfect hiring process. Occasionally, people slip through, but, you know, if you look at it as a process, you can help that get better and better and better and work for your business. So thank you for coming on, being vulnerable, and sharing your worst leadership moment.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolute pleasure.